Good morning. Hear me okay? Okay, this is What's New in OWASP for Devices. I am not Greg Baribault. Those of you in the brown shirts know that. Greg is sick this morning. It is April 1st, but I don't really think he's going to be showing up here in the last minute. So I'm a principal program manager in the Exchange team. I work on mobility as well. My focus is on Exchange ActiveSync, working with key partners like our friends from Apple and folks in the Android ecosystem and BlackBerry. OWA for devices is near and dear to my heart. I pride myself as one of the top dog fooders. I have run this app every day for at least 2 years on some type of mobile device, and my friends make it better and better. So we're going to spend some time this morning talking about mobility in general, and the way we see the world in Exchange, do a quick review of what's going on in the Exchange ActiveSync ecosystem, and then spend a lot of time talking about OWA for devices. So, starting with ActiveSync. So, this truly is a stand-in. I'm kind of figuring out my logistics here, so pardon me the turnaround look. So we started back in 2000, 2001 with Mobile Information Server, did the essentials with email contacts and calendar. The device initiated the sync back in those days. In 2003, we added Always Up to Date. This was initiated with SMS, which was functional but didn't work globally. We had some challenges worldwide having a reliable SMS sync. With 2.5, which came in Exchange 2003, we had a task sync, the ability to search the GAL, the ability to sync multiple email folders. Remote wipe came in, which suddenly make it much more viable as a business device to be able to remove information if the device is lost or stolen. The SSL to protect the communications. And we started down the policy path with advanced PIN policies. In 2007, we brought in auto-discover, which greatly eased the configuration of devices for workers. We had support for HTML mail, so we moved to a much more beautiful formatted mail message. We added server search so that you can look for mail which is not only synced down to the device, but also search for emails which have been still residing on the server. The ability to password reset, so that if you forget your password, you can initiate a reset from OWA and get back into the device. We added flags, out-of-office support, which is one that we still find not broadly implemented, but anybody who spends any time on the road finds terribly useful. We have the ability to access UNC shares and SharePoint doc links, and the ability to see meeting attendees in your calendar items. 12.1, which was in 2007 SP1, we updated the PIN and GET. You know, I just realized this slide doesn't talk about adding push in 2.5. These are Greg's slides. If I'd have done these slides, we would have called out in 2.5 the major step forward where we added push to the protocol. That kind of was a major transition for ActiveSync, because up to that point it was poll or SMS. So take a note. We should talk to Greg about that. So in 12.1, we added the ability to do a PIN and GET, which we thought a little more efficient. We added compression so that for attachments or just large mails, you know, when you're in a mobile protocol, bits over the wire is a major consideration. So we added compression to the protocol. A remote wipe confirmation so that you actually know your request to wipe the device was successful. And we added a ton of policies. So we get questions a lot about could you add mobile device support to more mobile device support to Exchange ActiveSync. We chose this set of policies based on what we thought were key for the 80% case. And this has proved to be a relatively comprehensive list. Of course, we hear regularly that people want more and more, but we have mobile device management partners, and of course, Intune to manage mobile devices as well. But this was a major step forward for us when we added these 30 mobile device policies to the protocol. Then in 14, we added support for conversation IDs, so you can intelligently group your conversations in the mailbox. We added the reply state, so you could tell whether you had taken action on the mail from a mobile device and have that replicated back up to the server. Notes, we don't find a lot of folks use notes, but that's still important to a segment of our population, so we sync notes. The ability to do free busy scheduling, which if you've ever tried to schedule a meeting from a mobile device, you'll find is fairly essential. We have a handful of devices that do that. We would like more. Support for, I think this is the nickname cache we're talking about here, support for unified messaging and SMS. Not a lot of folks do sync of their SMS messages down the phone. It is supported in the protocol. And we had a couple more policies to, which I think our current count has extended up to about 37 mobile device policies. With 14.1, we added support for Gal Photos, so now you can get a picture of your contact down on the mobile device in your EAS client. A big step forward was allow block quarantine so that you can have some control over devices that connect to your infrastructure. You can choose to always allow a certain type of device. You can choose to quarantine and take an action yourself or explicitly block. IRM, Information Rights Management, or RMS Protected Mail. Those of you who use RMS, we are heavy users in Microsoft where there are certain messages we don't want forwarded, we don't want printed. This allows you to see that on the mobile device. We added that support into the protocol. And message diffs so that we could display only the differential part of a thread instead of the whole thread when you sync. So again, efficiency for the device manufacturer and EAS implementer. So that's kind of an overview of what we've done in ActiveSync over the last several years. We now wake up in 2014. Mobile is continuing to play a bigger and bigger role. Despite the prognostications, which I think email is over, email does continue to grow. We still see it as an essential business tool, both for consumers and for business. This scale is billions of users on the left, and you can see the percentage growth isn't large, but we're still talking about very, very large numbers. And I don't think most of you guys would dispute that it's an essential tool for both business and consumers. What's interesting is we're finding it more and more mobile all the time. So depending on the statistics you choose to follow, some folks will report that somewhere between 40 and 50% of all mail gets read on a mobile device first. And if you think about this chart is about just access. So this was, we believe that roughly half of all consumers have access, or the total market has consumers to their mail through a mobile device in some way. If you go to the business segment, it gets closer to 70% have some remote access to their email. And then if you talk about what gets read, somewhere between 40 and 50% of most messages get read first on a mobile device. So the challenges that we see with the current Exchange ActiveSync ecosystem is that there are all these great features we built into the protocol don't get consistently implemented across all devices. And so you find there are key things that we build into Exchange that until it gets lit up on a mobile device aren't really providing value to end users. There's also a tremendous amount of discontinuity between your experience in the desktop to the browser to the mobile device, which at the lowest level is annoying, at the highest level generates support calls and pain for people supporting the end users. One of the things we hear consistently from IT is that the merging of personal information with business information creates a real problem, not just we want to control our information, but actual legal problems around I can't comfortably wipe a device and take the risk of wiping out somebody's personal picture collection or their information that does not belong to the corporation. And so while we have pretty good controls in the exchange protocol, we've consistently asked for more and more granular control, and this whole notion of segmentation or separation of business data from personal data. And then in fairness to our partners that implement the protocol, it's fairly challenging to get some of this functionality right. It's no mystery or no secret that we've had our share of calendar challenges where sometimes calendars aren't completely consistent. We continue to work both in the protocol and with our partners to make that better. But there's just data integrity challenges that are complicated by the fact that not the same company builds the server and the device, so we don't control both ends of the equation. Obviously, with Windows Phone, we have a much greater ability to sit down shoulder to shoulder and do that. We have a very positive relationship with a lot of the leading device manufacturers, but it's still a challenge when you're not shoulder to shoulder around a whiteboard. So this is the slide that I showed. This is a direct copy of the slide I showed earlier that talked about the things we put in the protocol. This is the view if I take out the things that don't get consistently implemented in third-party implementations. It's rare to see somebody sync task on a mobile device that's not produced by Microsoft. I can't think of anybody who's supported the password reset functionality. One of my personal favorites, the out of office. I personally spend a ton of time on an airplane, and I never think to sit out of office before I leave. Most folks have looked at that as a nice add-on, but not something to be built in a native device. The UNC Share and SharePoint doc links, not a lot of folks implemented. I'll also say, in fairness, it was a fairly challenging piece of functionality to implement well. So we don't expect to see a lot of that. From the policy perspective, I would say 20 to 25% of the policies get implemented consistently across devices. We rarely see anybody do them all. The conversation segmentation. So there are a lot of devices manufacturers implement a conversation model, but it doesn't use our conversation IDs. So there are different heuristics and different rules used to construct the conversation threads. You'll find some inconsistency sometime between what you see in a Microsoft, like for example in OWA or an Outlook, versus what you would see in a third-party implementation. Free busy scheduling, the ability to surface that in a mobile device isn't very complicated, but there's some challenges around just screen real estate and how to do that in a useful way. And we're still hopeful that our partners will join us in supporting IRM. We think it's terribly useful functionality. We keep making it easier and easier. But today, unless you're using a Windows Phone or OWA for devices, you basically get a message that says, well, I can't really read that, and you need to go to a different client. So we tried to help our customers navigate this by starting a wiki page. And you can see it's really pretty straightforward to choose how you want to implement certain policies. And it looks like the rows up top got cut off. But this basically is a public resource that allows people to choose what set of policies and such to implement across devices and develop an effective IT strategy to manage your remote users and have a very effective BOD policy. I'm guessing this first two columns is Windows Phone, but let's just assume we don't know. So, other things fueling mobile email growth. We see businesses more and more encouraging folks or allowing folks to work remotely. We see a lot of virtual organizations, particularly in the startup world, where you may have clusters of people in two or three locations, often traveling a lot. And we're seeing a lot of device management tools that are being developed and implemented to help manage this BYOD challenge. So some of those folks are here at the show today. It's a active market, and it's meant to address a lot of these challenges we talked about before, particularly the one of segmenting personal data from corporate data. On the consumer side, massive adoption of mobile devices to use your personal mail as well. Well, our colleagues in Outlook.com will tell you that the growth of mobile devices in our Outlook.com service, formerly Hotmail, is just off the charts. More and more, we see the majority of that mail read through a mobile device. We also see the amplification of everything. So taking a granular, you know, some piece of this whole, what we used to call PIM, personal information management, and breaking it down into a specific app, optimized for a great user experience for that particular piece of functionality. And you know, we got started down this path with AutoDiscover, trying to make account setup really, really simple. You see efforts like that, efforts like trying to allow you to set up with a simple phone number for some other apps, but the whole idea of how do we make it easier and easier for folks to get online. And then as far as the devices, devices just keep getting better and better. Larger screens, more processing power, better battery life. You know, we, along with others in the industry, try to eke out every little savings of battery and bandwidth we can. That carries us so far, but fortunately the hardware keeps getting better and better. And then the last thing you've seen as we continue to expand the presence of Office across Microsoft Office across devices, it makes it more and more reasonable for somebody to actually work from a mobile device. I consistently talk to folks who want to arm their remote sales force or their field with only a mobile device, and we just see that these are becoming, in some cases, the primary computing device as opposed to a secondary device. The challenge for us in Exchange, which is not a new challenge, is that we've invested heavily in trying to make this mobile experience great, but we don't have the control or the influence to have that end-user experience being exactly the way we think it should be. And so we, again, with much thanks to our colleagues at our device manufacturer partners, there are just pieces of functionality that don't get surfaced. Out of Office, you know, as an example, when we build new things into Exchange like groups, it could be years before that shows up in a mobile device. And so the part of the challenge for us is we'd like to address that issue of consistency in experience across the different device types, as well as letting people use whatever mobile device they want and have a consistent experience across that, which highlights the investments we've made in Exchange. So the thing the Exchange ActiveSync ecosystem has been very good at for us is this ubiquitous access. It's kind of a given today that if you have a mobile device, a smartphone, it's going to talk Exchange ActiveSync, and it's a pretty straightforward process to connect it to your Exchange account and get your email calendar and contacts down there. BYOD, I would contend, is manageable. The full solution that we know that folks would like to have, but with what we offer in the protocol coupled with the good MDM solution, most people feel like they can effectively manage mobile devices in their business today. Where the current ecosystem falls down is it's not as complete as we would like. We would love to see the new features of Exchange surface on mobile devices more promptly and in a richer way. We also think we can do a better job tailoring the experience for the capabilities of the device, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. So it's the doing it well, but also deeply integrating it with the platform to take advantage of things that are unique and powerful about that platform. And as I said, we can do BOD, but it requires us to often use a third party or our own products to extend the device management capabilities. So, was it just yesterday? Yesterday we, time kind of goes slower here. Yesterday we announced that we'd be doing OWA for Android. We're very happy about that. We're going to show you. I think we'll actually do a little Android today. See, it's not just me that just found out about this 2 hours ago, but my demo crew, too. So we're I don't think they're as excited as I am. So we introduced OF4 devices, I guess, last June or July on iOS, and this starts us along the path of trying to provide this consistent experience across all mobile devices, and at the same time light up the new functionality, which is built into Exchange. And so whether you're on a mobile device, whether you're on a tablet, you get the same look and feel, the same experience. The learning curve for the end users is dramatically reduced. And they all get access to the same cool things, like being able to use a Bing location lookup to add a really rich location to a meeting, or quick peeks in the calendar to be able to take a quick action without fully opening the calendar item. And we've brought that now to Android, and you'll see it's the same, the user experience on an iOS device using OWA for iPhone or OWA for iPad is the same experience you see on OWA for Android, which is the same experience you experience in OWA in Chrome or IE or Safari, which is the same experience you see on the desktop. So, from our perspective, what makes this really exciting for us is we're controlling the process end-to-end. We can provide this consistent experience. We are managing the business information, but leaving the personal information untouched so that if you have to remote wipe a device, you can take the Exchange provided information off the device but not touch the individual's personal information. And what we like about this App Store model is it's very easy for us to quickly get releases out. So we innovate on the client and then quickly push it through the Apple App Store or Google Play, and it's quickly down on your mobile device right away. So things that, let's spend a couple minutes talking about features, the major silo, you know, the major feature buckets, and then we'll spend some time looking at the app. So in Mail, it's a fantastic triage experience. If I just walk through this list, the infinite list view, you can continue. You know, you're not constrained to 2 or 3 days of mail. You can flip and go far down, scroll to your heart's content, to access your mail. It is the Exchange Outlook conversation model, and so what you're used to seeing in your desktop or your browser looks exactly the same on the mobile device. One design difference that we choose to do, and you'll see this in Windows Phone, is consistent with this as well. The unseen mail badge for us is an indication of what you haven't seen, not necessarily what you haven't read. So if I pull my phone out and take a quick glance at my, I see I've got 8 unseen, and I take a quick glance at the mailbox, when I put that back in my pocket, the next time I pull it out, it's not going to count those same 8 messages. It's like, I recognize you've seen these, you haven't necessarily acted on them, but it's a fundamental distinction, and we find that's actually a pretty helpful way to keep you, to give you a clue as to whether you actually need to go back into that mailbox or not. And that's, again, consistent across all the apps. The ability to quickly search your mail. So today you can go into a search box and look for mail that is not only on the device but at the server level. As you see us talk about things like how we're using the Office Graph and making search more and more intelligent, those benefits accrue to these apps as well. So you'll get suggestions and intelligent recommendations about what you're trying to search for. Going back to the conversation model, the ability to ignore our conversations or mark as junk. When I talked about the ActiveSync ecosystem and their own conversation models, one of the big things missing were these verbs, this ability to say, oh, this conversation, I don't need to see this anymore, please ignore it. Or ignore it meaning move it to the deleted items, and any further messages in this thread, go ahead and put them in for me as well. You also have the ability to mark messages as junk, and then that gets replicated back up to Exchange so that we can do that across all your clients, and we'll know forever that is junk. Mail tips, I don't know how many of you have fallen in love with mail tips or not. It saves me embarrassment almost daily. I don't send silly little jokes to 500 people. I know when I'm sending something outside the company. I don't waste time writing the note to somebody who's out of the office because mail tips pop up and give me a clue about what unintelligent action I might be doing. We surface those now in OWA for devices. I was talking earlier about the support for IRM protected messages. I personally have to spend I don't see our legal guys here. I have to talk to lawyers a lot in the nature of my job, and so I get a lot of IRM protected mail, and it's very frustrating to be on the road and not be able to get those messages. I can now not only read those messages, but I can compose messages, so I can actually write when I walk out of a meeting an IRM protected mail, put protection on it, and fire that off. Again, favorite folders in Outlook. So if I say we have a DL which talks about the bugs we find in this app on a daily basis. That to me is one of my favorite folders. Not that I like to see bugs, but I want to know what's going on. Tagging that in Outlook OO is a favorite, replicates back to my OO for devices, and I have that there with me. And then, of course, Draft Folder Sync. So I could start writing on a mobile device. I guess, you know, I could be on an iPad, start creating a message, fire off, close it, walk away, and then when I go back to my office and sit down on my desk, that message is in the drafts folder. None of them independently may be overwhelming, but in aggregate, you look at that and go, holy cow, I can be a lot more productive doing mail on this app. Calendar, if you're somebody who lives in your calendar, some of these things will be absolutely essential for you. The free busy scheduling, are we demoing this? Are we showing the free busy scheduling? Yeah, this to me, if I had one thing that probably saves me so much time or makes me so happy, it is trying to schedule a meeting on an iPad and seeing the free busy of the five guys I'm trying to meet with and be able to quickly pick a meeting and run and pick a location. And fabulous feature. We can quickly convert that to a link meeting with the tap of a button. If someone wants to propose times back to me, that's viewable. Delegate access, so we often hear about folks that would like to have their delegates manage their calendars. We don't have that support in the ActiveSync protocol. We don't envision adding that to the ActiveSync protocol. It's just a really complicated thing to do in EAS, but we can do that in our OO for Devices app. We're gonna show you in a little bit viewing conflicts or meetings that are close to you so that when you get a meeting invitation, you can quickly check and go, oh, I see, this meeting is in building 2, but I have to go to building 7 later and that's a long walk, maybe I won't be able to make that. Putting categories on your meetings, assigning attachments to a meeting. So again, if you've used an EAS device to access your Exchange account, these are probably familiar to you. Meeting reminders, so of course you don't miss a meeting. And then rich location is what we were starting to show a little earlier, this idea of being able to look up, show me all the Starbucks close to me and let me pick a place for us to meet somebody for coffee. And then the people, particularly for large organizations where the organization's profiled in AD, sometimes it's good to be able to go and browse the hierarchy. Gee, I want to know this guy's out of the office. Who's he work for? Can I find somebody to help instead? For me, a simple time saver is walking building to building, trying to figure out what office somebody is in. Be able to see all that in your people card. We have the ability to pull in, just like in Owen and Outlook, information from LinkedIn, from other social networks, and show you a consolidated view of that information. There's my office location, the extended properties. Our search can be not only of the local contacts, but also of the gal. And then you have the option to choose whether you sync your contacts with the built-in contact list or not. That's often a decision about whether you're comfortable having your business contacts down on the device. And we'll talk a little bit later how, from a policy perspective, you can control whether you want to allow that within your organization. The exciting thing for us in the Exchange team is that this client quickly evolves with us. So that lag I talked about earlier, it may be a couple years before we see the mobile devices implement things we build into Exchange, we can do much better here. So we can build this into OO for devices and quickly surface things like groups or our social conversations. We're comfortable that all our compliance work is surfaced here in the mobile device. And I think at that point, it's probably time to look at some demos. So, Eduardo, are you up first?
Okay, so can people hear me in the back? Cool. So I think as part of the presentation today, everybody that comes up to stage needs to remind you, I'm not Greg. Greg is feeling sick today, or at least we've been told. So we'll do the best to feel for him in this session. What I'm going to do, my real name, since I'm not Greg, is Eduardo Mello. I'm also a program manager in the OWA team. And the demos that I'm going to show to you are on a iPad mini. And then Paul is going to come up and also give some demos on an Android phone. So, just to give a quick overview of the application, I can from the app I can see my inbox, I can see my contacts, I can see my calendar, as you'd expect to be able to do that from a fully integrated Outlook desktop or browser experience. You get that also on the app for iOS. So if I begin on my inbox, as Ed mentioned, we have the infinite scroll, so I don't have that many emails here, but you can imagine people that tend to be pilers and have hundreds and thousands of emails, you can just swipe your list view and go through all your emails in this continuous movement. I can do my triage actions as well. So by swiping the items, I can see the triage actions. And all the triage actions that you expect to see on a desktop, on a browser, are also available when you are using the app for iOS. So let me delete these items, and they are now gone. The other thing that I can do from here, as you would expect, is I can take some item here. Let's see. I'll take this one. I'm going to reply. And just like that, I was able to quickly reply to that email. Now, having said that, one thing that you may have noticed, if you look on the top left corner of the screen, I'm actually not connected right now. I'm in airplane mode, so my device is not connected to the Wi-Fi, and I was still able to access all those key functionalities that you just saw, despite the fact that I was disconnected. And all the content, of course, was synced some time back. You can even see the update was 10:37, the last time it was updated. But they can perform all those actions while offline, and as soon as I connect back to the network, if I'm able to do this now, it should sync back with the server, and all the actions that I made on the device will be replicated on my mailbox in the cloud, and any update that happened to my mailbox, any new emails and so on, that arrived while I was offline will then show up here as well. It still shows as one unsent, so I don't know if the Wi-Fi right now is really good or not, so I may not be able to actually connect to the mailbox, even if I have Wi-Fi connectivity here. So some of the things I want to show there. Let me show search and how you can search for events in your mailbox. So, as you expect, search shows you all the results, also in a way that's very consistent with what you see on a desktop, on a browser. Oh, interesting. Look at this. This is Greg, by the way. So if you see a guy that looks like that in the showroom today, let us know, because we need to have a conversation with him. And I thought he was sick. Or we still think he's sick, but he wants to do some after party things. Okay, so I do see that I have a conflict. So that's FreeBSD integration. You can see here right on my inbox. But I think I really want to have a heart-to-heart with Greg. So I'm going to accept that. All right. So that will be a very interesting meeting, I'm sure, assuming that he shows up. So that was a calendar integration in your inbox, something that you see and you're used to on Outlook and Outlook web app. But as Ed was mentioning, not something that you're going to get from most of the ActiveSync implementations that exist out there. The other thing I want to show is how we are also bringing the Office Graph integration that you saw yesterday at the keynote to the app on iPad as well. So if I begin typing a few letters in the recipient box, you can see some options being pre-populated by default, and all that is calculated based on the Office Graph and the people that I typically connect with. So in this case, Krish is someone that I send a lot of emails to, and I get a lot of emails from him. So Office Graph brought that app as the key result for my email. The other thing I want to show is the work that we've done to improve how we handle attachments and being able to have a much more integrated experience where you can see attachments from inside the application. We don't need to launch you into a separate experience. So on an iPad, given the size of the screen, when you click on the attachment, we default to just showing you the attachment and not showing the message side by side, smaller screen, than what you typically have on a desktop. But if you want to see them side by side, you still can. It's just one tap away. And now you can see the message and the attachment at the same time. So the other thing that's interesting about this approach that we're taking for mobile is we can deliver features to end users much more quickly than if we had to go through partners that implement the ActiveSync protocol. What you've seen with attachments is one example of that. The next thing I'm going to show is integration that we have with data loss prevention, DLP. And when we implemented at the same time for desktop as well as for tablets and phones. So to show that, as you've seen, we've collected a list of credit card numbers. So if you want to write them down, now is your second and last chance. In the previous session, I said there was only going to be one chance, so it was, I'll give you a second chance now, so write them down and feel free to use them anywhere you go in town. You're not going to be able to buy much with those, but you can try. So what I want to do now with these is I want to basically take these and send to the travel agent that helped me, Paul, and Chris organize this trip here. That travel agent will be doing all the expense reports for us and charging those credit cards. So I'm going to take that spreadsheet, and I'm going to send it to the travel agent. And the travel agent is someone that's outside the organization. And it may not be a good idea to send credit card numbers to someone outside the organization. So in this case, the IT admin for our organization basically set up a DLP, a data loss prevention policy, that basically blocks me from sending that type of information to an external recipient. And that's what the tooltip here is saying. If I want, I can get a little bit more details about that policy tip and that policy violation. It gives me all the details. And in this particular case, the policy is such that I'm blocked from sending that email unless I do an override. And that override will be logged, so you know I can get in trouble later if I do too many of these things or if I don't do it in the right way. But the IT admin still gave me the option to send that email out as long as I choose to override that violation. So now I can go ahead and send that. So we looked at attachments from how you can look at them next to messages, how I can forward them, and the integration with policy tips. What I also want to show now is how we're integrating the attachments that you can send over email with OneDrive Pro. So here, just composing a new email, I click on the icon to add the attachment. I have a number of options, including attachment. And what we're doing here is we're essentially connecting to my OneDrive Pro account that I have in the cloud. And those are all the files that I have there. So I can pick any one of them. And I have the option to send as a classic attachment, or send as attachment, the second option, which is literally taking the file from OneDrive Pro, downloading, including it physically in the message that I'm going to send out. Or I can send that as a link, which basically means it looks like an attachment, it feels like an attachment, but it's just a link to that document on OneDrive Pro. So if I, for example, then say I want to send this to Paul, what this is going to do is it will set permissions, it will set ACLs in OneDrive Pro such that Paul can read and write to that document, but he cannot give access to that document to other people. And this is all happening behind the scenes. All you have to do is pick the file that you want to attach and select how you want to attach that file. And that's it. The last thing I want to show is how on an app like this, we also have the opportunity to take advantage of some of the resources that are specific to the device. So if I go to the options page, one of the things that I can do here is I can choose to sync contacts to this device. So all the contact information that's in the device address book becomes now available to me in OWA. So whenever I'm sending an email or things of that nature, I can use the content from that address book, native of the device, in my OWA experience. So those are some of the things I want to show to you about OWA, and now I want to have Paul come in and show you some other things as well. Paul?
Okay, hi everybody, I'm Paul, program manager on the Exchange team. I'm going to show you a little bit about what OWA for Android can do. I've actually been dogfooding with the same device that I'm about to show you. Let me fire this up. It's been kind of fun because last year I was dogfooding with an iPhone using OWA for iPhone, and a couple months ago picked up a Android device, downloaded the app, and really got continuity of experience. It was the same experience that I had on the iPhone, but now it's on the Android. One moment. Yeah, I need you. We'll see if the demo gods are still laughing at us today. Oh, that was easy. Hang on. I got it. Hopefully, you're going to show you the screen here in just a moment. All right, while it's coming up, just to give you a quick primer, the navigation model that you'll see on a what we call a touch narrow device, a mobile device, should be the same and familiar as what you get on an iPad or a tablet. Actually, I wanted to ask, has anybody tried OWA for iPhone or any of the mobile OWA experiences? Okay, we've got about maybe a third of you. So I'll show a few more features than I normally would just because some of you are not familiar with this experience. Oh, great. Thank you, Steve. All right, so I'm looking at mail right now. That's pretty easy. I'm going to go to the bottom left, which is how I navigate between modules. So I tapped on that little thing in the bottom left. I'm the calendar guy, so I'm going to start with calendar, and then we'll switch back and show you some other things as well. So one of the things I really, really like about the mobile experience is that I can see all the calendars I care about, and you know that calendar folder pane that you get with larger screens? It's really easy to go in and select or deselect the things I want to see. So I'm going to go down to the bottom, this command on the left. which is basically going to give me the same set of calendar folders that I would see in a browser. And you can see, in this case, Greg has selected multiple calendars that he cares about. He's got a couple of groups there at the bottom, the Best of Mech and the Longhorns group that I was demoing in the last session. That orange calendar that says calendar is actually his Mech schedule that he's imported and subscribed to in Exchange. So he can see all of these calendars together. So what I'm going to show you is that we're going to navigate to Thursday. I know there's an appointment on Thursday related to one of the groups that Greg is involved in. And the same actions that I showed you in the last session where you can tap on that gray appointment is an appointment actually that's on the group calendar. And even from the mobile device, I can find things using search. I can add them to my calendar. And you'll see in a moment that the item that was formerly just on the group calendar, I can put it onto my personal calendar, all here on the phone. Now, while that's coming up, I'm actually going to go back and deselect some of these other calendars because I want to show you how easy it is to schedule a meeting and use FreeBSY even on the device. So let me go back to that folder list. I'm going to get rid of the thing that I, these other group calendars that I had. So it should just show my calendar. And in the last session, I showed you how you would schedule a meeting with somebody on the desktop. Let's see what you can do if you're on a phone. So one of the powerful things we put on OR for Android is this little search icon at the bottom. And not only can I search for events in my calendar, totally useful thing if you need to, you know, figure out when your appointment next week is and you want to just jump to it, but I can also start typing in the name of people that I want to schedule a meeting with. So hopefully this is going to work. Let me tap that. Let's try that one more time. Well, for some reason, the keyboard's not coming up the way I would normally expect it. But what I would have done is I would have typed in Krish's name, and his calendar would have come up overlaid with my own. So you don't even need to go into a meeting form to see somebody's calendar right next to yours. If you're scheduling a time in the hallway, great thing to go do. What else can you do from the phone if you're scheduling a meeting? So I just hit the plus button to add a new event. And what we give you at the beginning is we figure most of the things you put in on the go are small things, so we give you a very simple form. In this case, I'm going to expand the more details part of the form so you can see other things that you can do. If you needed to book a room for your meeting, you could actually do that from your device. We'd give you the same experience that you get in the desktop. If you needed to make a meeting online, you can see there at the bottom, just one tap, you can do that. And we've talked a couple times about the location, the smart location feature. For some reason, it's not letting me type in right now, but I could type in, you know, where are coffee shops in Austin, and use Bing to go find an actual place where I wanted to meet with somebody. All right, so let me back out of the calendar experience. And let me take a look at what you can do with groups. So I've touched that navigation icon again at the bottom left. And in addition to being able to switch to my mail, my calendar, my contacts, I can switch to any of the groups that I'm interested in. So I'm going to choose the first group. This is some active group that's started up while we're here at Mech, people sharing photos. So I get that nice group inbox experience with the nice cards. And let me just show you, it's easy to respond to one of these. Hopefully the device will let me type. Oh, I'm sorry. What I need to do is hit the reply action before I can do that. That's at the bottom. So I'm going to reply. And what I would have typed in was, I've got a great photo for this group to see. It's not going to let me type that. So I'm going to try instead to just attach the photo. So up at the top, you can see I can attach things. And it can take me to my Photos app, or if I have stuff in my gallery, I'm going to go into Photos and take one of these great pictures that we had about an hour and a half ago when we were all preparing for this session on kind of short notice. And if you can see, it's been attached at the bottom. And so I can't write anything about it, but at least I'm going to share that photo. I'll send that. And that should become, this is Greg, I'm acting as Greg in this demo. we should be able to see the photo that we just attached. See if it shows up here. Oh, sorry, I tapped on Greg. But anyway, it's easy to post to conversations. Again, it's a very simple model to do that. Let me show you one other thing, one other area. I'm going to go into options. And my first inclination was actually to go to the navigation, but we've put that in what we call the affordance menu over here on the top, on the bottom right. So, oh, and I think I need to switch back to my mail before I do that. So I'm going to switch back to Greg's mail, and I'm going to go set a few things in options. So you can see I have options here. And I've got a nice set of things that I can set right here on the phone, like Ed was talking about. When he's on the go, he's able to set his automatic reply, so I can enable that, save it. So that's set, that simple. I could edit the reply if I wanted as well. What else can I do? I personally hate to get lots of notifications on the phone. I only like to see specific things. Meeting updates are important to me, but just about everything else I could care less about. So I'm going to turn those off. Do that in the options here. One last thing is maybe you want to get more mail content available to you while you're offline on the device. We let you specify in the offline folder setting which folders you want to sync. So by default, we take your inbox and your drafts so that you can read your incoming mail, compose mail. I want to get a couple of other folders offline, and so all I have to do here is choose one of these, select folder. I get my folder tree for mail. And in this case, there's a MEC feedback folder that I have a rule that sorts things into. I want to get to that. And now I've added that. So that will now be synced down to the device in addition to my inbox and drafts. And you can do this for any mail folder that you care about. Nice. Did I miss anything? All right. I think we'll conclude the Android demo here. You want to come back up, man?
Thanks, guys. So it's a shame that we couldn't type there. We would see some interesting stuff that came along with that. That's probably an emulator problem. There's a lot more functionality in the app. If you want to get a deeper dive, please come on down to the show floor, and there'll be some of us there with devices in our pocket. Clicker. We're really pleased with the reception we've got for our OWA for devices in the time it's been out for iOS. I didn't change. We have mixed experience in the feedback. We get great feedback from folks that can use the app. The folks that can't use it with, trying to use other services, not always so happy. They love to have this broadly in other services, but for an Exchange user, we get universally positive feedback on the functionality and what we've surfaced. A couple of things that we didn't talk about specifically. When we first shipped the iOS app, it was available only for Office 365 users. You can now also use the app with Exchange 2013 on-prem. You need to configure yourself an Office 365 mailbox to make push notifications work, which most people consider essential for having for a mobile app, but it's a straightforward process. The Android app we announced yesterday, it's coming soon. We can't be a lot more specific than that right now, but I can tell you that several of us use that as our everyday mail client. It's pretty solid right now, and we're heading towards home. We will continue to make the presentation of mail richer and more beautiful. We're going to add task sync in a coming release. We don't do that today. We hear consistent feedback from users of the app. They would like to have task added to OWA for devices. One of the consistent feedbacks we get is we need Zoom. We need the Zoom in and out for reading pains. That's not in the app today. That's on our roadmap for the near term. And landscape support, so you can switch and view a wide screen. So this is the URL to go read about how to actually configure your Exchange configuration. If you want to support this app for for on-prem. It basically involves setting up an Office 365 mailbox and using that to route the push notifications back to your on-prem users. We're happy to work with you if you need help doing that. A quick couple words about Context Sync. So to be very clear, the contacts are stored in, can be stored in the, you saw earlier how you can choose to sync the contacts with the local device. Some people have concerns about whether that might be a potential leakage situation. And so if you don't want your users syncing their work contacts down to the local store, you have the ability to override that and set a policy that prevents that from happening by running these couple. Do we make these decks available? Yeah, so you'll have these decks. This will walk you through the commandlets and what you need to do. But it's a simple setting of a policy which disallows local contact sync. And then we also have policies that you can set on managing the mobile device. The important distinction being we are managing the OAuthr devices app. We're not managing the entire device. So the ability to just wipe the device and require encryption of the data that we provide using the encryption provided by the local device. And here's how you do that. We're not going to do another demo, so at this point, we'll do some Q&A. We've got 20 minutes, so if you have questions, would you come to a mic or... Thank you.
For the on-prem, you said that it takes an O 365 in order to push out to it. Is that a one-to-one relationship for each user that's going to use it? They have to have it, or is it like one for your company that's pushing out to everybody?
So it's single mailbox, right? Do you know? You may know. One to many. Actually, come here, Alan. Come here, Alan. So the nice thing about when you're a stand-in speaker, you haven't been trained on the rules of what you can and cannot do. So I have a guest speaker coming forward now. Come on, come here. Oh, okay. So the question was for the on-prem installation, do you need an Office 365 mailbox for each mailbox, or is it something different, right?
So in that case, you just need a mailbox in the cloud, and then that sets up the relationship, and then you don't need one for each user. But right now, that's just the way that you get the relationship so that you can push through the cloud to APNS or Google's push notification services.
Great. So that was a guest appearance by Alan Atwood, our test manager for mobility.
Yeah, I think it's even on. Have you guys identified what Android versions are going to be supported with the app when it comes out?
I couldn't understand that. Could you? What Android versions do you support? That's a great question. So the way this app is built, we build a native layer to take advantage of the native device functionality, and then we surface a lot of OAuth inside of that layer. And that is requires heavily on web views or the web control. And Android prior to KitKat was not very performant. And so we'll ship this with support for KitKat 4.4. We won't support earlier devices. That used to be a big problem in the Android ecosystem, that once you got your device, you were kind of stuck with whatever version they shipped. I'm happy to say the Android ecosystem seems to be doing better, not as well as I'd like, but better at getting updates out. We'll require KitKat 4.4 for support.
Is it possible to access public folders from this device?
Ooh, can we access public folders?
No, not at this point.
How about site mailboxes?
So can we access public folders? No, we can't access public folders. Can we access site mailboxes? Do you know?
Site mailboxes have passwords. think the answer is also no. Okay. It's only regular mailboxes and group mailboxes.
What we have announced, though, is that groups, which you guys are seeing now, are going to be available on the Noah apps. And we will have a migration path of things like shareholders, like mailboxes, and distributions to groups. Obviously, Province was providing some gift this year, so that scenario is covered. Your on-premise system, you usually send mailboxes. As far as I know, that's not going to be available to customers.
Is there a...
So let's see if we can repeat what Steve said. So we do support groups in the apps, and we are encouraging folks to migrate to groups. We don't believe site mailboxes will be available in the app near term. We'll provide tools to make the migration from site mailboxes to groups easier for Office 365 customers. It looks site mailboxes for an on-premise installation will probably be not supported. Do we get it all? Okay.
Is there a tap for the Android client at all?
Is there a tap for the Android tool? So we treat OWA for devices as part of the Exchange product or service. So getting in the tap for Office 365 would, I believe, get you access to the Office for Android. We're not doing external testing yet, but we hope to soon. So there's folks running the tap in the expo. David Espinosa, I assume you're talking about. So please come down to the Exchange area if you want to try to get enrolled in that if you aren't already doing that.
The Office 365 development workshop on Sunday, they talked about how they're going to start publishing a roadmap for like the future of Office 365 some months in advance. Is there a plan for that for OWA as well?
Why don't you come up here, Steve? Start by repeating.
Yes. The question is, there's going to be an Office 365 roadmap that's published. Which is going to be much more frequent, much more dependable. OWA updates for Office 365 will be on there. OWA updates specifically for the next on-prem version of Exchange won't. Okay, so.
Yep.
Any other questions? All right, thank you very much. Really appreciate your patience. Sorry Greg wasn't here, but I think Eduardo, Ed, and Paul did a great job. So let's give them one last round of applause. Thank you. And we'll all be here if you guys want to ask questions now, one-on-one.